I take my shirt off. Work all day, hustle and pray. Got no way to go. Got to catch my sugar. My plantation sugar. My plantation sugar. My plantation sugar. Ah. Plantain, plantain. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Shirtless Plantain Show, the Manchester United edition. It's AFCON final Sunday. Fuck a Super Bowl Sunday. I'm a Nigerian. I'm an African, first and foremost.
Yes, sir. I agree.
So, yeah, as you know, we've got a guest, a brand new guest, but not new to us. We've got Tommy Y here. He's been with us listening since day one, since, you know, the YouTube shit. So, yeah, you know, everyone, play nice, give it up for him. And yeah, Tommy, say hello to everyone, man.
Hello, hello, hello. Nice to finally be on. I've been listening for a while. And when you guys, when you guys are talking United, I'm always just yelling at my phone, like, no, I've been waiting for my chance to come on. Finally, I can come and yell about United my way.
Oh, man. So United won today. Yes. And I'll be honest with you, this performance I was not expecting from either side, to be honest. Emery is a coward and a turtle. And
absolutely.
The fact that he put out a team today to go at United like the way he did today surprised me. On the flip side, I didn't expect United to be, let's be frank here, United got away with one today. Like they got away with one. And I'm very, very much of the belief that when you get away with ones like this, like that, it can go two ways. You can either learn from it and make sure that obviously you're not going to be in that position again, or you take it at face value. Say, oh, it's a result, we won, and then we go again next week when it, you know, it shouldn't be that way, and then potentially you can get punished the next game. When you saw the lineup, Tommy, what did you think of? Like, were you happy initially knowing that obviously Leach is out for the foreseeable, at least 2 months now?
Yeah,
was that the best that you think that you could have done today, basically, essentially?
Yeah, when I saw that lineup, I mean, that's the lineup I expected and I predicted. Right. And also people have been advocating for Luke Shaw at like left center back. And I just want to stop that. You can't, like, unless
we're playing a three, yes.
If we're playing a back three, yes. Yeah. If we're like you said, in a back three, that's fine, but in a back two, absolutely not. And also, I would turn up in form coincided with Rashford and Shaw playing on that left side. So why would you want to disrupt that? You already have an excellent defender in Varane. Sure, he has his own injury issues, but this season when he has played, he's been decent. I'll say that. Yeah. You have Maguire, who's I gave Maguire so much stick last year. So after, hands up, I applaud him. He's back in form. Yep. Don't break that up. And like just let them do what they can. Even Dalot. So don't break up that lineup. Just insert Varane in for Licha and we can keep it moving. So outside of that, I was fine. I was fine with that back line. The midfield, Casemiro and Maino. I was fine with that, even though Casemiro is, man. But the front three, especially. The front three, I feel like the front three will always be there to save us.
Yeah.
So I was fine with that lineup.
You know, it's good that you actually mentioned the midfield and the front three. This is, for three games straight now, United, I believe, or four games now, maybe, have played the same front six. And it's amazing what having your best players fit can do for your form. I mean, them playing together every week can do for your form. I've been, you know, one of United's, I suppose, harsh critics, but there's also been a bit of sentimentality there, because there's, you can see that these are not, like, you don't want to be starting Anthony every week. You don't want to be starting McTominay every week. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you don't want to be starting, Johnny Evans every week, you know,
and God, no.
So when you have a consistent front six, basically, you can actually start dreaming of things, because it's like, okay, I know these are our best players. These are the ones that are going to essentially get us out of trouble.
And literally,
these are the ones that the manager trusts. So I expected a game today from United to be to not go the way it went today, essentially.
I'm with you. I was so. I think the problem started in the midfield, and I'm partially blaming K- Casemiro, and I'm blaming Ten Hag. Bruno too. I for the longest I've been fighting against the Bruno slander because I'm like, he helps us. Sure, we would like to retain the ball more, but like he helps us. But I like we weren't able to for like the first 30 minutes of the game. It was back and forth. Villa would be on top of us, then we would get right back at them and keep it pushing. I remember I even tweeted right before our goal. I said our attack looks great. We just need a goal because I know United will dominate an attack, and then we'll dominate a game, then we'll dominate again for 30 minutes, concede, and then just go into our shell, and then just say, and then just like throw the game away. So I was hoping, like you said, I was hoping for more of the game last week against West Ham. That type of like constant attack, like we're there, we're creating chances, but just more clinical. But it's, man, I think the problem is our midfield weren't able to get the ball to where it needed to go. And also Villa's high line also definitely stifled us a bit because Rashford in the first half was also like three times. We know that patented Bruno ball over the top to him. That wasn't there. So it was.
So do you think that has something to do with, obviously, you not gaining control in midfield? Profile-wise, you've pretty much got everything that you need there. You've got a destroyer, a destroyer who can pass the ball forward at times, but not the best at it. Then you've got an actual midfield prodigy who can make a ton of vertical passes, is good under pressure, and then you've got an end product machine at the tip of your midfield, basically. So profile-wise, it's fine. But then you look at what Villa put out. Villa put out Luiz, Kamara, McGinn, Ramsey. Now, the reason why I named those four is because Ramsey, to me, is, even though he was deployed wide, all of those players excel through the middle of the pitch, right?
Yeah.
So it felt at times that Villa basically had an extra man in midfield over you guys, despite there being hardly any space, because you guys have put three there, they've already put three there, but then Ramsey comes in and now it makes it a four in the middle of the pitch. It's almost like, well, what do we do here? McGinn was popping up like wide as well.
Yeah.
Do you think United just didn't adapt to that at all? And that's why essentially, despite you creating some chances, it always felt as if, well, Villa are just gonna go back up the other end and get a great chance themselves, kind of thing.
Yeah, adapt and also I hate to say it, like Casemiro, all time great DM. Like in our generation, I think he's only behind Busquets.
Yeah.
He's won everything. He's played at the highest level. He has to be a bench player now. Because watching the game, he's behind everything. And that's why he has to resort to tackling. Yeah. And that's why you always see him get a dumb, just reckless foul to give him stupid yellow. Even though today, that was a dive, that wasn't a yellow.
Mm-hmm.
But you can see, you saw it against West Ham. He got a yellow in 2 minutes. Like, as much as I love the guy, we need, like you said, we have the profiles. We just need to upgrade on those profiles.
Yeah.
And like you said, upgrade on Casemiro, try to find someone who can do what he does, but a little bit more with the passing. Because that's another one of my big problems is passing is there. And either we need to find a way to keep Bruno as high up next, close to the box as possible, or get a midfielder or get an attacking mid that when they drop in, they're able to keep the ball, they're able to dribble. Because that's Bruno's biggest weakness in my eyes, the fact that he can't dribble. So he has to resort to just
spamming it.
Yeah, and it sucks. It sucks. Because, again, it's a chance creation machine, but if we can keep him around the box, I feel like that's where we get the best of him. But when he drops in, he gets the ball, he can't keep it, then just hoofs it 40 yards up and tells our attackers, hey, go catch it.
Yeah. And it's almost like he's, as a captain, he's almost kind of passing responsibility. Oh, yeah, I'll put the ball there. You guys have to do it always. That sometimes a pass has to come with a message. It can't just be, oh, I've put in this area, do the rest.
Make something happen. Yeah.
Sometimes it should be, oh, I've put it here. All you have to do is shoot, basically.
Literally. I remember last week, I forgot, what game was it? I think it was who did Villa play last week?
Oh, that's a good question, actually. Let me check.
Because I remember, I think one of their players gave a pass, and you guys said it on the pod, where it's like, that pass.
Oh, Douglas Luiz against.
Luiz pass, where you're like, that pass, he can't miss that pass. You just told him where to put it. And that's the type of pass, that's the type of chance creation that we need sometimes. Not just hoof it up, now it's 2-on-1. Make something happen.
Yeah, almost like a Rashford. Okay, I've given the ball to Rashford in space, but Rashford still has to beat his man.
You know, literally.
Sometimes it should be, before I get the ball, I'm telling Rashford to run into that space so that when I give it to you,
you just need to shoot.
You just need to shoot, basically. And you know, I've seen plenty of like top midfielders do it. A lot of, like, for example, and this isn't me like having the shit on Bruno, but Odegaard alone today done that a few times where he's looking around before he's get the ball, he's scanning his surroundings, and he's like, okay, he's pointing into space. He's like, okay, go there.
Yeah.
Even if he doesn't pass the ball to you there, you've made the defender commit there and there's space for somebody else. But more often than not, he'll give you that pass and you know, it's one touch out of your feet and a shot, basically.
Literally.
And it feels like as if sometimes Bruno kind of gives these forwards a bit too much to do, despite him obviously having great numbers.
Yeah.
But yeah, I suppose this kind of takes us to where I think things got a bit interesting. Luke Shaw came off, right? I didn't see exactly what happened. You can refresh my memory, but Luke Shaw is, to my mind, one of your best creative outlets, and not just from crossing the ball, but the fact that when he does come in field, basically, he can see a pass, but he can also play it as well.
Yeah.
You know, so you think how much, I think a lot of the time people, when they talk about, oh, United struggling to defend and stuff like that, sometimes it's not that they're struggling to defend, it's that United have got a lot of attacking weapons kind of thing, and Luke Shaw helps with that. But the moment he can't help anymore, automatically now you're inviting pressure, because
yeah,
Luke Shaw isn't putting pressure on other teams. So if he's not there kind of thing, now a team can obviously, they feel a bit more confident because they're thinking, oh, Luke Shaw's not here anymore, he can't find a pass from deep kind of thing, he can't find a really good cross, and yeah, then invites them on. How much do you think his injury really stifles your attack even more?
100%. It stifles us so much. I want people to when he came back from injury, and I'll uptake in form and goal scoring, because I'm not too sure if you remember, there was a point in time where we didn't score for like 4 or 5 straight games.
Yeah, I do.
Where he was out and Rashford was injured / benched. As soon as those two came back, but especially Luke Shaw, as soon as they came back, we got that front three of Garnacho, Hoyland, and Rashford. I think we scored 14 in like, it's probably more now, but 14 in like 4 games. Hoyland
scored in the last 5 games in a row now, I believe. So
yeah. So like last 5 games, we started scoring, and we haven't lost in those 5 games. So Luke Shaw does so much for us, creativity, like on that side, his overlapping runs, they're beautiful. They take the defender away, leave whatever's on the side 1v1. And also, honestly, he's also not that bad of a defender. He's able to keep up with most people on that side, except for when he's playing his best friend, Saka, which annoys me. Like, he actually did an interview praising him. I was like, the next time I play Arsenal, I don't care.
He's been doing that. He's been doing that for like, what, I think the last 2.5 years at this point.
Yeah, but, and each time Saka has a goal against us off that side. But yeah, and it also doesn't help that we don't have another left back fit to replace him. Like, we brought on Lindelof today, and that second half, they were attacking Lindelof's side. Douglas Luiz, Bailey, they were all just standing Lindelof up and saying, let's get the ball into the box or let's run at him.
So here's the thing. We mentioned, obviously, Lindelof, right? Lindelof is Lindelof, but a wider problem is it's not just him. It happens across the league. So when an attacker, especially an attacker in the Premier League, sees someone that they think they can get at, it's always a long day, regardless of who is playing.
Yeah.
When they see someone, he looks like lunch, that's it. Right. And Leon Bailey is one of the worst players to feel like that. If he feels like he can get at you, oh, God bless you, man. Like, seriously, there's not much you can do. Villa did something good in the second half, they got the ball to Bailey as quickly as they could.
Literally, even the goal, it came from off a corner.
Yeah,
they just recycled it back to that side, and no one closed it out.
Yeah,
and like you said, Leon Bailey he's a nightmare for any defender. But I would feel safer with Shaw or a more natural defender. Left back there. More natural left back there, which that's another thing, is that I tweeted about. I went on a mini rant because I lost my head when I saw Luke Shaw went off and Lindelof come on. We had Alvaro Fernandez, which is he's a touted young left back. I think we got him from like Atletico Madrid. Same time we got Garnacho, and we loaned him out.
He's left now. He went on loan.
It's permanent, and that's part of my problem. at the start of the season, we knew Malacia was going to be out for however long. Yeah. With that injury, it's still baffling because we don't know exactly what the injury is.
Yeah.
But we knew Malacia was going to be out for whatever long. Yeah. In my opinion, it would have been smart to leave Fernandez at the club to deputize for Luke Shaw so he can learn, get some games. Because he's like 20, 21.
Yeah.
So we loan him out. We bring in
Reguilon.
And then we bend him in January. So I'm thinking, okay, maybe Malacia is close to being fit. No. So I'm like, okay, we got to recall Alvaro because we need a backup left back.
Yeah.
We recalled him just to sell him to Benfica next. And I'm like, there's no planning. Now I will only fullback that's healthy is Dalot. Because Antoine Bissaka's out. Malacia is out. Now Luke Shaw's out. We don't know for how long.
Yeah.
And Licha can deputize the left back, but now he's also hurt. So we're just there. So squad planning is another big problem we have.
Yeah. I mean, injuries are injuries, and you can't really account for them. The only thing you can do is, I suppose, try and have a deep squad. But having a deep squad isn't cheap.
It's not.
It isn't cheap for it. So there's that as well. But I suppose I kind of want to talk more about Villa's chance creation. The fact that it wasn't just coming down Bailey's side; it's coming through the center of the pitch. Coming down through the right, Ramsey could have had a hat trick today, maybe even four goals today.
In the first half, in the first half,
in the first half, and then in the second half, it got even worse. And to me, one of the things that I don't like seeing as someone that used to play in midfield is that someone's not tracking their runner.
Yes,
essentially got wide, Ramsey would ghost in. McGinn would ghost in, even sometimes Luis would ghost in, and the pullback is always there.
Always.
The pullback always. I'm thinking, honest again, between Mainu and Casemiro, surely one of you is gonna see this. It was always a last ditch. It was always one of the centre backs cutting out a last ditch. Like the player was always in space. I'm like, hold on a second. If I'm a midfielder, kind of thing, running back towards my own goal is one thing, and obviously you don't want to do that too often, but it should be something you're accustomed to. You don't want your defenders running back towards their own goal, basically, right?
Literally.
But as a midfielder, you should be able to say, okay, cool, just do the math. If I can see this midfielder and that midfielder, surely someone's missing. Where are they? I'm onto him, kind of thing. It's not happening.
It's just not
happening. And I was just like, before Villa scored, right, I was like, okay, cool, this is I'm going to give it another 5 minutes before they score, basically. And it happened within three or something like that.
Literally.
It was one of those things where it's like, all of us, I'm no genius. I just watch a lot of football. That's it. Right? But if I can see it, surely Mr. Ten Hag, he's been managing for the last 15 years, whatever, and you've been spent your whole life, but surely you can see this pattern. Like, you can surely see what's happening. Like, do something about it, or at least, you know, tell one of your players to go down in just to slow the game down a bit, something like that. But it was just relentless. There was no experience. There was no gamesmanship there. Like, Villa easily could have won this game 4-1 and nobody could have complained. Like, genuinely.
At all.
Like, nobody could have complained. And that's the most frustrating thing for me. It's not the fact that, oh, there was one problem area that they were complaining. It was through the centre of the pitch. Like the part where it should be hardest to create for me, it was through the centre of the pitch. Like, how does this keep on happening? How did you feel seeing United essentially just get stripped every time?
Just like you, I grew up playing center mid like my whole life. I played 8, 6, and 10 throughout high school, college, all that stuff. So when I just see, like you said, just running directly through the middle, like there's only so many times you can't even blame the central defenders or goalies, because there's only so many times when you have to keep repelling 20 attacks. And this is the second straight game, I'm not sure about the game before, where we allowed 20 plus shots.
Yeah.
You know how crazy that is? 23
shots, I believe, 10 on target. And, you know, let me just keep rapping. I'm going to find the actual XG because
that's crazy. So, like you said, there was always, and like the cutback, that's been a problem since last year. The cutback is always on.
Yeah.
That means a midfielder is not tracking their man. Like you said, okay, so I see McGinn, I see Douglas Luiz, they're marked. There's someone else I'm missing. Let me go find them. Let me run at them. And that's why I said I'm going to blame Casemiro and I'm going to blame ETH. Because like you said, I'm no genius. I'm not a pro. I'm not, you know, I'm just a regular guy that kicks ball with my friends during the weekend. But if I can see that, someone in the technical staff has to say it.
They've got iPads now, man.
Like, and Bruno, you're a captain. You're a captain. Signal, hey, we need help in this midfield. Garnacho, drop back. So, like, there were so many times where Jacob Ramsey, a bunch of his chances in the first half came from, he would ghost in right between Maino and Dalo, and Dalo wouldn't follow him or know where to go. So he would just be at the edge of the box, free shot, every time.
So Villa had almost a 3 XG, right?
That's crazy.
They had 17 shots inside your penalty box.
That's insane.
United had 12 in Villa's box as well. But I don't feel as if, to my recollection, there weren't that many high quality chances. It felt as if almost all of Villa's chances they should have scored from, basically. And just, I'm just gonna look for a comparison here. But yeah, okay. So Villa had 17 shots right in their box. If I remember correctly, Arsenal had 18 shots against West Ham in their box. And scored 6. So it's clearly one of those days. It was one of those days where nothing was going to go in. You know.
And honestly, I have to give Onana credit. Yeah. He did. Yeah. Onana and our center backs, they did a good job today. We're gonna
get onto Maguire especially for sure. But you're right. Let's start off with Onana. I think Onana showed a lot of command today, but also there was a chance where the ball came straight at him, but it could have easily, if he had weak wrist, it could have easily went in. Like, it saves like that crucial time. Pretty much,
I think was the John McGinn shot, the long shot where he was just, like you said, through the middle, no one was closing him down. Nope. It was a great shot and a great save. Yeah. When he shot that, I swore it was in. So I got Onana.
That was in the first half as well, There was even in the first half as well, there was an Ollie Watkins chance where he's waiting for the ball to come to him instead of running onto it. And Onana smothered him, and then obviously Onana's got like taking a bash. All these chances just coming back to me now, thinking, hold on a second, United really, really got away with one. But
we did.
But with that being said, if we're talking about in-game management, everyone complained about Rashford going off, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bringing in McTominay, we have to give it to him with a stroke of genius. Nobody likes McTominay, by the way. Let's just get out of the way. But he's a huge goal threat. We can't deny it at this point.
I can't. Yeah. No, I have to accept it. You can find it. I swore. I was like, anytime McTominay starts a game, I'm not watching it.
Yeah.
That's how fed up I was with him.
Yeah.
And I still think taking him off of Rashford was wrong, because Rashford had Matty Cash on skates that game. Yeah. And I feel like we should have exploited that more. But he made a decision and it paid off. The way McTominay crashes the box is insane. You have to give him credit for that. He's always there. Like he's damn near second striker with Hoyland, just right there next to him. Always. So you gotta give him credit for that.
Well, I will say this, and I've said this a million times for those that have listened. McTominay was a striker when he was younger. A lot of people might not know that. Don't go away or anything like that. Like, his ball striking is actually pretty damn good as well. It's just that.
It is not.
It's just that everything else is just kind of shit.
Yeah. And that's why I feel like, and I think Baldy finally realized that. And that's why he has him as a off the bench, because starting him, you lose so much quality in that midfield. Yeah. Like you said, ball striking amazing, but his pressing, his passing, dribbling, all that is just, it's shit.
The thing is, as a modern footballer, he's got everything that you need. He's got the size, he's got the athleticism. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. But the technique is just not there.
It's not there. It's not there. And that's essentially why I feel as if he's got a top level career.
He came in and like you said, I, as much as I like, you know that meme where it's like, I can't beat this guy. That's me every time he comes on. I just can't defeat him. I just have to accept it. And he's helping my team win. So, hey, go McTominay, I guess.
So, had you guys lost today, right, it would have been 11 points, but it's not. You won, right? It's 5 points. In your heart of hearts, knowing what Emery is capable of. Yeah, I said no.
Wait, hello, so can you say that again?
Had you won today? Oh. I said, had you lost today? Sorry, it would have been 11 points, right? But you didn't, and it's now 5 points, right? Knowing what Emery is capable of, you think it's possible for you guys to catch them?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. We have a run against our next games is Luton and Fulham. Yeah. They're not easy, especially because we play Luton away at their boxing ring of a state. Yeah,
it's not the faint-hearted, man. I'm telling you,
that stadium is a boxing ring. I feel like you don't go in there. But I feel anytime Luton play at home, their mentality is we're both dying on this field.
Yeah,
so you have to be ready. So, but I back us to win that and against Fulham, and then I think we play Man City away, and then after that we have another like not comfortable, but we should be winning those. We should be getting results from those games.
Yeah.
So I do believe we can catch them. Also, we'll have to see depending on the Luke Shaw injury, but I do think we have enough where we can catch them. And honestly, our sights should be set on top four because we can. I feel like we can still catch Spurs because Spurs, they still. Lads, it's Spurs, so they still got something for us, and I do genuinely believe we can catch them Villa definitely.
I'm just gonna look at your fixtures now quickly. So you still got to play Tottenham, don't you?
No, we played them twice already.
Oh, okay, you have.
Yeah, the top three: Arsenal and Liverpool still have to come to
Old Trafford. Where your last home game of the season? I think.
Okay, so the. Jesus. Yeah. I need to win that game. I don't even understand. That away game had my head so I was after that Garnacho goal was ruled off and we didn't get that Hoyland penalty, I was on Mars.
Oh, and you're doing that now.
It wasn't
a penalty, man. Let's be real.
No, I'm not having it.
A penalty, man. Let's be real, man.
I'm not having it. But I'm trying to look up our schedule too.
So it's got here, but listen, I'm watching the British broadcast of the AFCON. And Danny Shittu is waving around his AFCON medal from 2013.
Oh my god!
In George Boateng's face.
Oh no! Nah. Wait, did you see the lineup for AFCON though?
Yeah, I did. And Zaidu, I have no words. I'm just gonna. You know, this is probably a good place for us to leave it. I'm just gonna get annoyed. Mr. Tommy, while you have been great.
Thank you. Yeah, guys, you know, this has been fun. I've been a fan of the show. You guys need to check in and tap in on the AFCON coverage because they're one of the only few people who are covering AFCON, even though a bunch of these other people have Africans, but they're not talking about it. Let me not be dramatic though. this has been very fun. You can find me at on Twitter at call me Tamilore. TAMILORE, and I'm just there yelling about sports and movies. So feel free to follow me. Yeah,
follow him up.
Yeah, and I hope I'm back soon. Yeah, thank you. I hope I'm back soon. But thank you guys. Thank you for having me, man. This has been fun.
All right, then. Peace.
Peace.
Ha! I take my shirt off. Work all day. Hustle and pray, got nowhere to go, got to catch my sugar, my plantation sugar, my plantation sugar, my plantation sugar.